Okay, Jack, yesterday's results are in. Former West Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra won his U.S. Senate primary last night. He will face Democratic incumbent Debbie Stabenow in November. What should we expect to see from a Hoekstra-Stabenow matchup in the coming months?
Well, there should be quite a contrast, Christina. Congressman Hoekstra is a strong conservative. Debbie Stabenow is a liberal or a progressive, as she might put it. And one thing, besides a contrast of views, and I'm sure they'll have one or more debates before this is over, is, of course, a struggle to raise money. Senator Stabenow is way ahead on that front. She has quite a war chest, several million dollars. Congressman Hoekstra has probably depleted a lot of his in the primary struggle, but it'll be an interesting race. I should note that Republicans have lost 10 out of the last 11 Senate races, so Hoekstra's trying to sort of break that losing streak.
Now, U.S. Representatives John Conyers and Gary Peters both won their Democratic primaries in the 13th and 14th districts, respectively, in southeast Michigan. Peters beat fellow Democratic incumbent Hanson Clark. How surprising is this?
Well, it was not very surprising, Christina. Actually, it was a little closer than I thought it might be, about 12 points. Peters had a lot of money. Peters worked very hard and very smart to line up endorsements, and this was a district that was about half Detroit, about half the suburbs, slightly more black than white. But there were at least two major black candidates and another minor one. Besides Hanson Clark, there was Brenda Lawrence, the mayor of Southfield, who, if you added the votes of Lawrence and Clark together, they're slightly more than Gary Peters. But Peters won with a plurality of about 47% and is heavily favored in the fall.
State Representative Roy Schmidt, best known as the Democrat-turned-Republican lawmaker, won his primary over write-in candidate Bing Goy. Schmidt will go on to face Democrat Winnie Brinks in November. Is this a surprising win given his party-switching scandal?
Well, you're exactly right. He's probably best known as a scandal candidate for attempting to pay a candidate who didn't live in the district to run as a phony Democrat. It's very hard to win a write-in. Indications are that a majority of the people who went to the polls yesterday actually voted against Schmidt in the Republican primary, but a lot of people had cast absentee ballots before the scandal came to light. And what this does, I think, is it weakens the Republicans in this district. While Republicans ironically thought they'd picked up a district with the party switching, they may well lose it in November.
And Jack, voters passed a property tax in three southeast counties to keep the Detroit Institute of Arts afloat. The millage will collect $23 million annually over 10 years. Any indication with this result that voters are in a spending mood?
Oh, not at all, Christina, but voters do like the Detroit Institute of Arts. They had a pretty expensive and very intense and smart campaign lobbying to get people to vote for this. In fact, I think it was a little closer than they thought. They nearly lost Macomb County, where it prevailed only 51-49. But I think what it does show is if voters are convinced that there's an asset that they want, like the art museum, like the Detroit Zoo, or like fixing their local roads, they are willing to raise their taxes to pay for that if they can see what they're getting for it.
And Jack, anything else you found surprising or noteworthy?
Well, I think the most surprising thing is the Secretary of State's attempt, despite the governor's veto, to get people to swear they were a citizen before voting, and there were a lot of complaints and some confusion, and then they issued another order reversing that in the middle of the day. So she would appear to have some egg on her face.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks a lot.
Have a great day, Christina.